Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. I'm Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York City at the Bright Red Desk, and I'm waiting for Mark and Heather to arrive. Welcome to Access Astrology for the week of October 17th. Lots going on in the heavens this week, lots and lots and lots in the heavens. So we're really feeling very strong energy about how to move forward and how to see the world through new eyes. And I see Heather has joined us. Hi, Heather. How are you?
Good. This is Heather Rowan Robbins calling in from Ronan, Montana, in absolutely beautiful weather. But yes, there is so much going on. And some of it looks so good that, you know, lineup of air signs. But I am feeling behind that a lot of people dealing with unusual anxiety and nervous systems. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. Well, and also last week there was that huge finger of God and a hammer of Thor.
Yep.
And right now yesterday there was a big grand cross in the sky. So yeah, it's kind of a, you know, a lot of stressful energy and finding out things, you know, things being revealed that you didn't know about, that you're like, oh my God, I didn't know about that. So it's been a rough week, I think, for many people, you know, finding out stuff and going, now what am I supposed to do with it? And to the extent that Grand Trine in Air is helpful, but it does involve Mars and Gemini, and we were still in Mercury retrograde shadow.
Mm-hmm.
So that also is like telling you, oh, and don't forget this, and don't forget that. And so people are, and also we're in eclipse season. We're in the, you know, we had the full moon. We're heading towards the new moon eclipse. So there's just a lot of crazy, wild, and exciting energy out there in the heavens. Whoops, and I see Mark coming in. Hang on. Let me turn him on.
Hello, Ann.
Hi, Mark. Can you hear us? Hi.
Yes, I hear you.
Hi.
Hi. Ready for Scorpio?
You're coming in from, say?
New York City.
New York City, okay. You're a little soft today, so maybe move the phone over. Your reception's a little low. We were just talking about how much tension's in the sky, but there also is a lot of fun stuff with that Grand Trine in air. So what have you been noticing?
A lot of opportunities once you get going. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Fly like a kite.
Yeah, fly like a kite, totally, because it does shoot out into other areas. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we also have this week the Sun-Venus moving. Ariel and Gutman pioneered the Sun-Venus in conjunction story of the Venus star point, and we have the Sun-Venus conjunction shifting out of 100 years of Scorpio into Libra for the first time in 100 years, so this is big. What do you guys about that? I mean, I'm like excited. We're going to go from me to we, and more nice, collaborative. It's, you know, So, Heather, what do you think?
It's very exciting, but at first, the Sun and Venus both square Pluto. They're both trining Mars, and then they, you know, Venus Mars trine, lovely, but Venus Mars conjunct square Pluto kind of hurts, and Venus and Mars form the first Libra, you know, it's been a long time since the last time Venus and the Sun conjunct in Libra. I think it was like 123 years. And,
no, 1771.
1771. It's been a long time since Venus and Mars, Venus and the Sun conjunct in Libra. And it really, I'm very excited about that new layer, a new echo, and I'm perfectly happy to let go of Venus star point in Scorpio. We've got one more coming after this, but it's I heard one of our astrological community died last night, Kirk Kahn, and I'm feeling a lot of people dealing with that, you know, that anxiety and heaviness of thought. Now, if we can hold out until we get to the other side of that Venus Sun conjunction, until they get past the square to Pluto over the next week, I think we're good to go. But this is, we're just kind of asking everybody to stay present with it, let the feelings flow rather than get hooked by them in the process.
Yeah, that's good advice.
And
the square to Pluto is, it kind of takes some of the mellowness out of the Libra. Venus in Libra, having the starboard there is really kind of nice. Everything flows nicely. It's very harmonious. But it squares Pluto, so it's up against the power. And Pluto is in conjunct to Mars, so Mars goes, who, me? I don't know anything about it.
Mars and Gemini can do that.
Easily. Mm-hmm. It's like, I didn't do that. What do you mean? What do you mean I did that? You know, it's Herschel Walker holding up the badge during the debates, saying, "Yeah, I work for the police department." And you're kind of like, "What? Like who? Me? Yeah, Mars and Gemini."
Yeah, right.
But mm-hmm. I think it's also, you know, for all of us. I mean, I know in my case, Kurt. I mean, I've known him for years. He started, you know, he was a student of John's and used to help at the MCGR conferences. And I remember one time we were out in the rain. At Hunter College, where we used to hold the conferences, and we were sitting watching the water pool in the crack of the sidewalk, and it would kind of fill up the crack, and then it would form a little wave and go down. You know, it was like a slight slant, go down the wave. And we were just sitting there watching the water. And Kurt was a Pisces. You know, he was a really lovely man, lovely man. So, but I just, you know, many fond memories of him. But that was one of my favorites because that was a Kirk moment where we were sitting there watching the rain and watching the water flow. So he was very much, much too young to leave us. But also with the eclipses, you know, it is a big time of departure. A lot of famous people died last week, Angela Lansbury. You know, it's a big departure time, eclipses, and they are on the nodes. The South Nodes in Scorpio, so there's a lot of energy about, okay, I'm finished here, I'm ready to move on and go do something else. What's that new direction look like, right? So a lot of energy of change and movement and choices, right? So making wise choices, but also recognizing with all the tension that there is in the heavens right now and that we're in release mode. You know, just kind of being conscious of what wants to leave or what wants to be released and, you know, blessing it, thanking it, holding a ceremony for it, you know, giving it a proper send-off, a proper burial perhaps, where you're thanking it for its contribution. So intense energy.
And letting it, and letting that bittersweetness remind you of your priorities and what you've got on your own bucket list. What do you need to complete in your life, because it feels like there's so much about this is washing up our feelings, but also asking us our priorities.
Yeah.
And to keep coming back to what's important rather than getting, and that can help not getting bogged down in the patterns of the moment. But it's tricky.
It is tricky. It's not an easy time, but it also is one of those times where like, okay, you know, what's important for us, you know, in terms of where we are and what we're doing in our life, right? So, and I think that's also part of it, is that Grand Trine in Air, you know, inspires us to figure out direction and where we're heading. And, so, big deal.
I see that, you know, Saturn is at 18 Aquarius, and Uranus at 17 Taurus, and they're within a degree of square, you know, 36 and 48. And we had minor earthquakes here in Montana. You know, of 3.2, which is pretty big for the middle of the country. But that feeling that, you know, is Uranus changing the Saturnine structures, and I'm seeing that in, you know, the turning door in England, in the English politics, where they're just changing and switching and going, you know, switching around back and forth. I'm seeing that that, like the earthquakes, a lot of minor earthquakes prevent the big one, and though the energy is building as the sun has been very active and there's a fair amount of solar flares, and we see this square breaking down some of the old systems, which I'm seeing, you know, the challenge to the patriarchy, Uranus square Saturn, has been what we see in Iran and Iraq and places we never thought we'd see it, but really erupting. And again, what we see in the world where change is actually happening, it's moving forward, moving smoothly, moving easily. And where there's resistance to evolution is where we feel the earthquakes. So we can think about that in our own life. What in our own life are we needing to look at our systems and our approach? What needs to change so we can pay attention to what we're doing and be here, and rather than get stuck in the past or where we would like it to be rather than where we are?
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's sometimes hard. You know, we forget.
That is.
We forget these things to do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And tell us more about your thoughts on the Venus Star Point, because this is exciting. I know we've all studied it, but you've studied it probably more than most. So
I think the thing I like about it is it's a five-pointed star in the heavens, and you have essentially five more Venuses.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have your star point that you're born under when you're in utero, the one that your heart's path is, and then you have a receiving hand and a giving hand and a receiving foot and a giving foot. So there's a there's a forward motion energy in terms of having a lot of direction, and it also speaks to, you know, your important connections, your soul connections with folks. So a lot of times you'll mate with someone who has the same Venus star point as you because your heart's path are in the same directions. And then you watch people that give you things, and then you watch who you give out to. And so it's a lovely system, similar to the prenatal eclipses, which is your kind of emotional programming for the lifetime, and also your kind of soul path connection, the eclipse that happens when you're in utero. This is the star point that happens. They happen every 9.5. And so they stay in the same sign for about 100 years. So when the founding fathers happened, there were five of the first seven presidents, I believe, were Capricorn star points, which were the people that form the president. You know, they built the country kind of thing. So it's an interesting placement. I have an Aquarius star point. And I'm an astrologer, and I did computers before that, and, you know, it kind of directs, you know, it's what calls my heart, and communities and groups. You know, I'm always kind of working in groups or communities like this. I'm with you guys. You know, we've been together now for like 14 years, right? So so there's a connection that happens with those star points that's important, that really just invites us to kind of see where your heart's path is and where you feel. And sometimes they're very literal. I have a good friend named Julene in out west in Cleveland area, and she had the Gemini star point receiving. And so I was teaching a class on the star point, a lecture on the star point at a conference out there, and someone had walked over to her and given her a $5,000 Vedic astrology book. And they had found it for like $3. Well, they found it for $3, you know, on a table in a barn, in a backyard sale. And they thought of her because they knew she liked Vedic. And she goes, "Do you know how much this book is worth? I've been looking at this book for years." And it was on her receiving hand in her third house of books. And the woman's like, "Oh, well, I thought of you, so I brought it to you." And it was like a $5,000 book or something like that, $3,000 or $5,000. It was a lot of money.
We love that.
But she'd been watching it, you know, and yearning for it, and then it walked into her hand. So, you know, it's a receiving art. You receive things, you know. It's, so it's always interesting. It's great. Ariel Gutman wrote a book on it, and she has a lot of information on it. And if you Google her, she's written kind of extensively about this one. So the last one, when it was in Libra, we had democracies form. We gathered together, you know, united the United States. It also was in the French Revolution, you know, kind of about peace, equality, and liberty, you know, Libran words for sure. And then also was a big burst of classical music being created at that time. So Libra encourages the arts and the creativity and the love, which, of course, we can use a little more of here on Earth right now because it's kind of a hard place. So so I'm really looking forward to it. It also, because it's taking place at 29 Libra, it's on the same point that the Saturn-Pluto conjunction was at in 1982. So all the babies born in 82, 83 are really getting a big present from this Venus star point. But also if you were around in 82 and you had a restructuring of your life, because of that Saturn-Pluto, because we had the Saturn-Pluto that was COVID that we just went through, but there was one in 82, and that was the Reagan years, you know, the trickle-down economy. And now we're kind of looking at the economy and going, we need to make it a little more equitable, you know, so that the top people don't necessarily make all the money. And, of course, we had the revolution back in the 1776, the rule of kings. And we said, hey, you know, you guys aren't the boss of us. So interesting time, and I think it'll be interesting to see how collaborations come out of it, how creativity comes out of it, you know, what we're inspired to love or do or be. And it's an interesting, because it does happen right after the Sun and Venus square Pluto, and they look at power dynamics in a new way. And they say, mm-hmm. you know, how are you using your power? Are you using it for good, or are you using it for bad? That's always the question we want to ask Pluto. You know, we love power. It's a great source, you know, solar power and, you know, power that runs the engines and electrical power and people, you know, our power to create and live our lives. But it's, you know, how are you using your power? So it's a really interesting energy. So we'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to it, I have to say.
And just for clarification for people, the star point is the fact that any time two planets conjunct, they leave a resonance, like an eclipse.
Yes.
They leave in a resonance for until it happens again, until the next conjunction. Mm-hmm. But it builds over time. The closer it is, the stronger. But any time, so when you're looking at when does Venus and the Sun conjunct before you were born, and that is your Venus star point. So you can go back and look in your ephemeris and check that out.
Yeah, and also think back in four-year increments. You know, what was going on in the fall in October of 2018, October of 2014, October of 2010, October of 2006, because there's an echo and a resonance. And back in, we had the Leo star point a few years ago, and it was the retrograde one, which is 4 years after the conjunction like we're having now. And I said to my two assistants, like, what were you guys doing 4 years ago in August? And so my assistant said, well, I decided I was going to stop drinking, and I was going to stop dating bad boys, and I was going to look for a good guy because I wanted to get married and have kids. And she'd met her husband, Spencer, and they were getting married in a few weeks, and they now have a little beautiful daughter named Sheena. And my assistant, Rose, said, I was in a really bad play in Baltimore, and I thought, I can write a better play than this. And she wrote the play, and it was in the process of being looked at by producers, and now it's been produced a couple times. So it's kind of you seed something on this star point, and you're seeding it in the Venus conjunction, and you're seeding it on the story from the fall of 82, spring of 83. You know, so in my case, it's kind of a mundane event, but back in 82, that was when my mother got diagnosed with cancer, right? Mm-hmm. And, of course, I lost her, which was a very big thing. Mm. But my dad died last year, and his grave is next to hers. And so he got his headstone and the stuff. But they did a different thing with his headstone. It has a white stone around it, so it's not just in the grass, and my mother's is just in the grass. So I was looking at hers, and I thought, I think I'm going to get her a new headstone for her 40th death day. And, you know, and of course the Venus-Sun conjunction is on, you know, her being diagnosed, which, you know, she had pretty advanced cancer when it was found. So I'm going to get her a new gravestone that matches my dad's with a white border. And, you know, that's the plan. So it was kind of like, oh, that's what I'm going to do for this. I'm going to get Donna a new grave so that she and my father look like, you know, hers has been there for 40 years, and it's in the grass. It doesn't have the pretty white border around it that my dad's has. So I'm going to make them match again. And that was my thought of how I'm going to celebrate the Venus star point, because that was really a really big structural change family. So, yeah.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Like, how do you bring grace and beauty and love to the world?
That's such a powerful place. Mm-hmm. Powerful question. So we've got 10 minutes left. Should we take one caller? I see only one person.
Sure. Mark, you want to, before we do, let Mark say something, because he's done a lot of stuff with the Venus star point too.
Mark?
Did he fall asleep?
Or his voice might be... we were having trouble hearing him. It may have been the reception.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. He's showing he's still hooked in. Okay, so let's pull in the...
we're thinking of you, Mark.
Let's pull in a caller.
I missed you. Mm-hmm. Okay, and area code 646-847. You're on the air. How can we help you?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm AJ. I could give you my birth details. October 30th, 1963.
63, time?
Yeah, October 30th. The time is 2:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm. And where?
In India, the city is Aligarh. And it's in
Glad
the state of...
Glad you spelled
of,
it. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. The state is Uttar Pradesh, that UP. I don't know if it shows up.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it popped
just,
right
it,
up.
We have it. Nice. And
good.
Yes, fellow Moon and Aries, hello. Scorpio, Pisces rising, Moon and Aries, what's your question?
Yes, I'm trying, I guess, whatever pops up at you right away, but career. I learned of an opportunity, but somebody said that he's interested in starting a foundation maybe, and I'm just wondering, but he's not going to recruit, he's not going to let, you know, he's not going to interview people until January
mm-hmm.
for the
mm-hmm.
position, and I'm just wondering if you see anything about that, will any indication of me perhaps changing or shifting or getting something exciting?
Yeah, Uranus
about the position.
I think Uranus is opposing your Neptune. It's going to be coming to oppose your Venus, which can make all kinds of changes in who you're dealing with, how you're dealing with them. It may feel a little unsettled for a while. Are you being, you would consider leaving something very secure in order to
yeah.
step into this? So that's what it looks like, is you're leaving something
yeah.
that felt secure, but not necessarily what you want.
Exactly.
And stepping into this change. You're,
yeah.
you know, right in just finishing up your second Saturn return. In about a year, Saturn leaves your 12th house and you start feeling more seen and your work is more appreciated. It's just going to take a while for this to take off is what I'm seeing.
Hmm.
What are you seeing, Anne? I mean, this is a good week.
Well, Saturn ended at the 12th, so that is the house of nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
So, and
right.
it, she's got a mandate
behind
to work
scenes.
For the greater good of the world with Saturn and Aquarius and then the house of nonprofits. So I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think January makes sense for interviewing because Mars is in your fourth house, so you've heard about the job. And then Mars is going to retrograde on the 30th and go back to 8, going to pick up your
mm-hmm.
progressed moon in Gemini, which is at 6 right now. So it does look like you have new work or new work opportunities, you know, coming in. And, you know, to Heather's point, the Uranus in your third house, you know, is kind of activating your natal Uranus. It always activates the natal Uranus, which is a change in your outlook and where you're going. So I say, yeah, apply. I would certainly send a letter saying, you know, you heard about it and you're interested. And then when we get closer to January, follow up. Because the Mars retrograde is kind of setting it up and building it. And you do have Mercury retrograde in your chart by progression. And so that's kind of, you heard about it now. So, you know, be first in line, which is, of course, your Aries moon anyway. You know, it's like, I heard about this. I'd like to apply. And then as Saturn comes to trine your Sun and your Mercury this next year, next spring, really, that's a good time for you to make the change. So it gives you time to think about it. But definitely you're feeling a little restless and you're feeling like you want to do work that's a little more meaningful to you. Or work that you're more mentally challenged by because you get looks like you're a little bored. Plus, you're about to have a Jupiter return next spring, and that starts a new 12-year cycle, and you're going to be doing the Jupiter-Jupiter phase, which is 50 to 72. So that's a lot about wanting to travel, wanting more money, wanting to kind of make a bigger impact in the world. And Jupiter does square your nodes, fate. So that's a good opportunity for choices and cross points and figuring out the direction. So I would definitely apply now, say you heard about it, and you'd like to be considered, and, you know, you understand from your context, you know, or talk to the person who you heard about it from that, you know, you would like to, you know, you'd like to put your hat, throw your hat into the race. Oh, throw your hat into the ring. So
is the, and is the,
I say
the,
yes, go. Yes.
Is
go,
it
go,
founded
go.
Out of New York, the New York area?
That's to be decided. Actually, I heard about this a couple of weeks ago. Through a friend that knows the person that wants to start the organization, and this friend has been pitching me.
Good.
And so I actually met with the guy who wants to start this Foundation last week, and it's through him that I found out that he's actually going to start a recruiting process for it. And I thought I was, it was just like me, kind of, that he was just considering me, but it, then I found out there was going to be others that are going to be, you know.
He's going to have to be, in a nonprofit, he's going to have to be responsible to the board and prove that he opened up the possibilities. But you have, you know, in the New York area, we have Jupiter on the descendant just off the coast of the Cape and the moon on the descendant, both around your descendant, kind of really making this in the East Coast area an interesting place in the world for you to be doing your work.
Yeah,
so
it would either be New York or New Jersey, most
right.
likely.
Yeah.
In that whole area is great. Mm-hmm.
So that would be great. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And where is Jupiter going to be for me next year?
You have your Jupiter at 11 Aries, and right now Jupiter is at 1 Aries, so he will be going back. He's right now. He'll be going direct as of December 21st, and then he'll be on your natal Jupiter next spring. Mm-hmm. Which starts a
just
new
time for that.
13-year, starts a new 12-year cycle.
What house is that?
It's right on between the first and the
natally.
Second.
And
the Jupiter return will be in your second, so that's often, you know, don't spend more than you make. Don't buy the boat before you get the money. But, you know, it looks like you usually do well. You know, the only
thing that
Jupiter's often
for.
There is bounty coming in, but the tendency is to put out even more bounty. So just, you know, keep your expenses reasonable, it looks fabulous.
Yeah,
I'm
hoping for more money
Jupiter.
Coming in with this position if I get it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your progressive
well, Jupiter
moon's
rules
still
your
going
midheaven and it rules your rising sign. So those are both good indicators. And if you think about every 12 years or so, you know, 2098 and 86, 88 rather, no 86. 86, you had job changes, direction changes, and you're going to have another one when you hit 60. Yeah, so it's good.
Very good.
And very exciting.
Very exciting. The other one thing is in your natal chart, your progressed moon is going through the bottom of your chart, so it's not telling you to drop everything and throw yourself into the work. In your relocated to the New York area chart, your progressed moon is going through the ninth house, which is taking you back out into the world, into education, into other things. So I do think that you're going to have your energy split for a bit in that your public will be very public, but you need to stay kind of grounded in your personal search and your family obligations and your own health so that you can keep doing that stuff, that good work out there in the world.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Yeah. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
No, great pleasure.
Welcome. Mark,
good
are
luck
you there?
That.
Can you hear us? I think he might have fallen asleep, too. He's been tired lately.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
but
good,
it also
AJ.
Might
you know,
be.
Good luck with it, you know?
Yeah. Oh, there you are.
Yeah, we can hear you now. Yay!
Yes.
Okay.
Any last comments on that chart?
Yeah, I was going to say be generous with yourself. Be generous in terms of salary, but also be generous in terms of what you can do for the public through your role, and keep the focus there so that it's building not just your place but the whole enterprise.
Yeah,
got it.
That's good. And and do you have anything to say about the Venus star point? Because we lost you at that time.
Oh. Yeah, it's helpful to know the star points in your chart. And then when they get activated, you know how to take advantage of them. Because you can't go wrong with Venus.
No. And this way you have six Venus. Six Venuses. Well, six Venus in your chart. Your natal and then five new ones. So it's always good to have six Venuses. It's the way I think of it. So.
Yeah, never too many Venuses. You know, places where you receive bounty, beauty, and creative process. So good luck on this. Have a wonderful time.
Yep. Off we go.
Let us know how it goes.
All right, Ann Ortley signing off from the bright red desk here.
Heather Owen Robbins from Montana. And?
And Mark Woltz from over by the Hudson River.
The wilds of the west part of the city. Yep. Have a great week,
see
everybody.
You all next
Catch
week.
You next week right before the eclipse. Woo-hoo!
Yay.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night.